Lord God, where your Spirit is, there is freedom and truth. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come and speak to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much to our worship team this morning. Good morning. It's great to be back with you today. We had an incredible day yesterday down at Loss. Yes. A round of applause for those who entered the waters yesterday. We give glory to God on high. What a special day it was. And can we just say thank you to all of you that came down to stand with those going through the waters yesterday. It was a truly blessed day. So I'm going to get straight into it because I've got quite a lot to get through today. But I was reading a book recently. And it was about a woman who served in the early church. And I was completely inspired. She has become my new favorite. And as I read about her, or what little is written about her, I realized that there is a message in her ministry for all of us as a church family. So today we're going to be looking at a woman called Phoebe. Everybody say Phoebe. Phoebe was a first century Christian woman, and she's mentioned by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church in Rome in chapter 16. That's the very last chapter of that book. And she's only mentioned in two verses. We'll get to that shortly. We know that Paul's letters were written to the church somewhere between 56 and 58 AD. So what we're looking at here is still very much the early church. So we're going to get to Phoebe, but let's just put into context the time. So Paul wrote his letters to the church in Rome when he was in Corinth in Greece. And it was his intention that he would go to Rome and he would meet there with the Christians, the Jewish converts and the Gentiles. His plan was to go to Spain, but he would go to Rome first. Now, it's still debated about whether he got to Spain, but if you know the Apostle Paul, you will know that he did end up in Rome. In fact, if we go back to chapter 15, just quickly, we read in his own words, he says, I plan to do so, that's visit Rome, when I go to Spain. I hope to see you, that's the Christians in Rome, while passing through, and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Other translations say, after I've enjoyed some fellowship with you. So he hasn't yet met in person all the Christians in Rome, but he's been writing to them. And he's been writing to them with a genuine love and a genuine interest in them. Back in those days, not everyone was literate. And there was plenty of demand for scribes and for readers. And those scribes took their job very seriously as they copied, as they translated the word of God. And that word of God would be shared with many. And once those scriptures were complete, they were then delivered. They were then delivered to a captive audience who eagerly awaited the words. And then there would be readers. There was a high demand for readers also. And when the letters arrived, they would read out the letters. And you can imagine them meeting together. They've heard that the letter has arrived. And they gather together, most probably in someone's house, all squeezed into one room as they began to listen. What were they listening to? They were listening to the word of God. The word of God that they so eagerly anticipated, that they gathered around with enthusiasm. Just as we are doing this morning. And I wonder, do we eagerly open up the scriptures with great expectation and anticipation? Do we come before his word with excitement in our bellies? So as I said, someone would then read out the truths that were contained within the letter. And they would most probably have a bit of a discussion, wouldn't they? What do you think about that? What do you think he meant when he said, we are more than conquerors? What does it mean when it says that we can do all things? Or that God is working for the good of those who love him? What did Paul mean? What is God speaking to us today in these words? And you can imagine some lively debates as well. A bit like a Bible study. It's a bit like our men's meeting or one of our women's meetings. So as I said, Paul wrote these letters to the church in Rome while he was in Corinth. Now, the book of Romans is the longest of the 13 letters of Paul, and it is full-packed, full of wisdom and truth. And it was only a few weeks ago that our elder Daniel spoke from chapter 13. Biblical scholars agree that this book explains that salvation is offered through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's no other greater news than that. That your salvation comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. And today we're going to look at the very last chapter in the book, chapter 16. And it's an interesting read. So Nathan's going to put up on the screen some of the greetings. So Paul begins to greet those in Rome. And I'm not going to read all those names, you'll be glad to hear. But in verses 1 to 15, there are around 30 names, yep, and households listed. Now you don't, we're not going to show it on the screen, but if you move to 21 to 23, there's a further 8 names listed. And we see those lists of names throughout the Bible, don't we? And it's easy, I said it last week at Noah Daniel's dedication, it's easy just to gloss over them and skip to the good bit. But quite often there's a lot that we can take, that we can glean from these lists of names. Let me tell you what struck me when I read through this large list of names. Paul was greeting each and every one of these individuals. And what struck me was the importance, the significance of the individual. The importance of the individual. Paul had a genuine love for these individuals. He had a genuine care about them. He cared about their spiritual well-being. Paul was an apostle. He was an evangelist. He was a teacher. He was a church planter. But he knew that he could not do that job in isolation. No. A growing church has growing needs, and we need each and every one of you. We need to work in unity and in partnership with one another in order to build his kingdom. So this list of names in this letter reminded me, and hopefully you today, the importance of the individual. You are important. You may not feel significant, but let me tell you something. If you are sitting on a chair in this church today, then you are significant. You are not only significant to this church, but you are significant to God the Father. And he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. Paul writes in another letter to the church in Corinth this time. This time he's in Ephesus. And he talks about the church and he describes the church as a body. And you'll have heard the church being described as a body before. It comes from 1 Corinthians 12:1. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So you might be the ear, and you might be the foot, and you might be the hand, but all parts are required. All parts are needed to make up the body. Each individual is significant. Did you hear that? Are you receiving that today? That's for you. So we are the body of Christ. You may have heard us being described as the bride of Christ, that we are the bride and Jesus is our bridegroom. And there are several scriptures that support that, that describes the church as the bride. Danny mentioned a couple of weeks ago that as the bride of Christ, we need to be ready. We need to be awake. We need to be alert. So it's our job as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, to dress her, to make sure that she is ready for the bridegroom's return. It is our job to ensure that she is attractive and that she is radiant. I wonder, when God looks at the bride here at Moss Vale Community Church, is she attractive? Is she attractive to the person out there in the street, so radiant, in fact, that they can't wait to get inside to see what's taking place? Church, we need to look after the bride. You know, if I could just jump to verse 17 and 18, this very last letter in the book of Romans, after everything Paul has spoken in this book, in verse 17 and 18, look at what he says. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions. Put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites by their smooth talk and their flattery. They deceive the minds of naive people. After everything Paul speaks in this letter, he chooses to conclude by speaking to the church, and it's us today, urging us to stay alert. We're hearing a lot about being awake. As I said, Danny preached on it at Woman to Woman. That's what we're talking about at the moment, being dangerously awake. Not taken out, not sedated, but wide awake. We need to be wide awake and we need to protect the body. We need to protect the body from division and from deceivers. In fact, Paul says quite sternly, avoid such people. He talks about individuals coming with smooth talk. You see, dividers, deceivers, disruptors, whatever you want to call them, they don't announce that's who they are. They don't rock up at a Bible study and say, oh, hi there. I'm here to cause trouble in your church. I'm here to cause division. No. They don't come and sit with you in the cafe and say, by the way, I'm here to gossip about your pastors. I'm here to cause trouble in amongst your congregation. No, of course they don't. They come all smooth and buttery. They speak as if they're fighting some moral cause. Paul, in his final letter, instructs the church in Rome, and I believe us today as a growing church family, to be aware of this, to protect the body of Christ, to avoid such people. So the church is described as the body and as the bride, but today I want to talk about us as a family, the family of God. So Paul was writing this letter while he was in Corinth. Now, 6.5 miles away from Corinth was a little seaport called Centria. And this is where our woman of interest, Phoebe, came from. Now, we don't know if she was born there, but we know from the opening verses, our main text for today, that that's where she came from. So I want to read to you now verses 1 and 2 in chapter 16 of the book of Romans. This is our main text for today, these two verses. So Paul writes in his letter, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. That's the New King James. So here we have our woman of interest today, and she's come from Centria, and her name is Phoebe. Now, when we think of Phoebe, you maybe not think immediately of this Phoebe. You may think of the hippy-dippy guitar-playing, smelly cat-singing Phoebe from the hit TV show Friends. Well, our Phoebe is quite different from that Phoebe. Now, there's not much known about Phoebe. There are only these two verses. But as I began to lean in and study her, there's actually so much that she can teach us as a family here at Mosvale. So I've got 3 points for you that I'm really hoping that I can get through in time. And they all begin with S. So if you're taking notes, the first thing we learn about Phoebe is that she is a sister. Paul says to the church in Rome, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. She has been sent by Paul carrying this letter to the church in Rome. She is carrying the word of God. That word to commend, what was Paul saying? Well, I recommend her to you. I vouch for her. I'm speaking up for her. This is my seal of approval. Imagine getting the seal of approval of the Apostle Paul. How amazing would that be? And then Paul says to the church, receive her. Welcome her. So the first thing we learn about her is that she is a sister. She is a child of God. That means that she is a daughter of the Most High King. She is a co-heir with Christ. Church, if you are here today, the individual today, if you have given your life to Jesus, then let me tell you, you too are a son or a daughter of the Most High King. You are a co-heir with Christ also. John 1 verse 12, for all who did receive him, for all who believed in his name, he gave the right for you to be called a child of God. That is who you are. You are not your past. You're not your job title. You're not your issues. You're not your condition. You're not what anyone else has said that you are. You are a child of God. And somebody needs to hear that today. Don't be labeled anything other than being branded as a child of the Most High King. Because that is who you are, and someone needs to hear that today. So Phoebe is a sister. She is a believer. At some point, she's given her life to Christ. We don't know when. Maybe Paul was instrumental in that. Who knows? However, her name, as pretty as the name Phoebe is, actually has pagan origin. So it's not a good old Hebrew name. It suggests that perhaps her parents were not God-fearing individuals. However, let me tell you what it actually means. Phoebe actually means bright, shining one. I find that quite ironic, actually, because I believe that this Phoebe was a bright, shining light for Jesus. Irony or the divine hand of God, you can decide. So she's a sister. She is a sister in the faith. And the brothers and the sisters in Rome are being urged by Paul to receive her as a sister. Can I just say a few things about welcome? Welcome is so important. We've been studying welcome at Woman to Woman when we looked at the book of Ruth, and that was amazing. When Boaz welcomed this woman from a strange land, he welcomed Ruth. Welcome is so important. I say it all the time. We are all here today because Christ welcomed us. He forgave us. He didn't turn his back on us. He welcomed us into his arms. Aren't we glad? And if Christ can welcome us, then surely we can welcome others. Now, on a Sunday morning here, before you all arrive, after Pastor Hughes prayed over all the seats, this is actually quite a busy place. You've got Peter and the band, they're in here, they're rehearsing. You've got Janet and the cafe doing a very important job getting that machine on. You've got the folk in the tech team getting ready for the live stream, the pastors and the elders, they're up in the upper prayer room, we're praying for the service. And it's all great work. It's all important work. But let me tell you something, if the welcome at the door is not on point, then it can spoil the rest. It is so important that we welcome one another. Let me tell you something else. It's not just the job of the pastors and the elders and Sharon and the welcome team to do that. We are all responsible for welcome. And if you have been coming here for more than a couple of weeks, you are responsible for welcome. People say, I've been only coming for 4 weeks. I've only been coming for 4 months. Christ welcomed you. So go and welcome someone else. So let's get back to Phoebe's mission. She was responsible for carrying these letters to the church in Rome safely. She most probably was carrying money too, because it's the early church, remember. And the early church, it was growing day by day by day. Why did that happen? How did that happen? It was the day before online services and YouTube and commentaries. I have no idea how they did it. Praise be to God for online commentaries. So how did the church grow when they didn't have this media platform like we have today? Well, scholars suggest that it was through generosity. It was through their giving. You all gave so wonderfully, so beautifully last week. The disciples, I've spoken about Barnabas before, they sold their land, they gave what they had, they shared with each other, they ate together, they prayed together. And what happened was the church grew because people leaned in and they inquired and they thought, what is it about those people? The love and the generosity. And that good news began to spread and the church grew day by day. So this was a growing church, much like our church, Mossvale, today. And Paul was advising the church and Phoebe was carrying the precious word to Rome. And he says, receive her as a sister. And church, nothing has changed today. Let me tell you something. We are to treat one another in brotherly and sisterly love. We are to behave as a family, not as enemies. We are to build one another up and not tear one another down. We are to be on alert for those who would seek to destroy and disrupt. So this woman was a sister in Christ. If you are in Christ, you too are a brother or a sister. So you can see already how this woman has been given such an important task. And, you know, that's really interesting because, you see, Paul gets a bit of bad press regarding his attitude to women, female leaders in the church. But just look at what he entrusts to Phoebe. And I think if Phoebe were here today, I think she'd have a lot to say about Paul and his love and his respect for women in the church. So here she is. What do we learn about her? Well, she is a sister. She is a sister in Christ. The second point, if you're taking notes today, is that she was a servant. That she was a servant of the church in Cenchrea. So what does that tell us? What does that speak to us about how we are to behave as a family? Well, servants pour their lives out for the benefit of others. It's a sacrificial role. As Christian servants, we're giving up our time, we're giving up our gifts, our talents, our resources, our finance for the good and for the benefit of others. Did you hear that? It's for others. God has given us spiritual gifts, but there's not to sit at home and enjoy them for ourselves. If you've been given the gift of encouragement, yes, it's great to encourage yourself in the Lord, but what's the point of getting the gift of encouragement if you don't get out there and encourage? So the gifts that God has given us as his servants are for the edification of others. And the word here, servant in the Greek, is diakonos. And that's where we get our word deacon from. Now, we don't have deacons as such. We have pastors and elders and ministry leaders within Mossvale Community Church. But we have many people who do the role of a deacon or a deaconess in the church. These were individuals that ran errands, that supported and assisted the leaders, often in many practical ways, and the Bible supports this. In fact, we see this role of service being carried out at the first miracle that Jesus performed. You know the story, they were at a wedding, and the wine ran out. My goodness, that's a bad thing to happen at a wedding. The wine ran out. So what did Jesus do? He turned the water into wine. He encouraged the servants to start pouring. And it says in John 2, Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them to the brim. This was an act of service. And that's where we see that ancient word, diakonos. So the passage tells us that Phoebe was a servant in the church of Cenchrea. She was serving the kingdom of God. Her master was Jesus. Now, when we think of servant, we think of the lowest paid, the lowest grade job. And in Bible times, we had servants that carried out those roles. But as I said, Phoebe was serving Jesus. She was serving Jesus by serving others. And Jesus himself talked an awful lot about servanthood. In fact, Jesus demonstrated it. Jesus, the Almighty Lord, got down in the dirt and in the dust, and he took his disciples' sandals off, and he washed their feet. He taught servanthood. Matthew 20, whoever wants to become great among you must first be a servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew chapter 20, and aren't we glad that he did? So what can we learn from this role that Phoebe held? Well, she served her master by serving others. Now, again, we don't know how she did that. As I said, she came from that seaport in Centuria. Perhaps she offered lodging for those traveling evangelists and missionaries. Perhaps that's how she met the Apostle Paul. We don't know exactly. Perhaps she carried out all of those tasks that are needed within a church life. It says there that she served the many, but it also says that she served the individual. Because it says there, by Paul, in his own words, that she helped him. She supported a leader in the church. You know, Pastor Hugh and I don't expect you to make us cups of tea. We love it when you do. We love it when you visit, when we visit and you make us a cup of tea. In fact, Pastor Hugh makes quite a nice cup of tea himself. We don't expect it from you, though. But here's what we would ask of you. We would ask of you that you would pray for us, and that you would pray for our families, and that you would pray for our worship leaders, and that you would pray for our Sunday school teachers, that you would pray for the church. As I said, a growing church has growing needs, and this growing church needs you. Phoebe was a servant of God. Are you prepared to be a servant of the Master? And you do serve. You serve in many ways here. On the cleaning team, volunteers at Sewing Together, Clothed in Love, on the tech team, prayer teams. Some of you might not be serving right now, and that's maybe because you're going through a process of healing or repentance, and that's okay. But a time will come where you'll hear the Spirit of the Lord say, now it's time. Now it's time to serve. Will you be ready? So what have we learned so far about Phoebe? Well, she was a sister and she was a servant. And if you are in Christ, you can receive your inheritance today as a child of God, as a son, as a daughter, and as a servant of the Most High King. But let's not take our role lightly. Let's take it seriously. As it says in 1 Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. And as it also says in Ephesians, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And while we do that, let's remember to be alert, to stay awake, and to seek out those who would want to disrupt and deceive. So the third point is that Phoebe was a saint. She was a sister, she was a servant, and she was a saint. Verse 2, it says, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. And I know what you're thinking. Paul's already said such lovely, lovely things about her, and now he's calling her a saint. What do you think of when you hear of someone being referred to as a saint? Well, it depends, actually. Depends on how it's said. But I could say Gordon is an absolute saint. He's so kind, he's so loving, he's so generous. Or I could say, see that Gordon? He thinks he's an absolute saint. But it actually means neither. Because the word, the meaning behind the word saint means holy. Or to be more exact, the Holy One. Someone who has been set apart for God's purposes. What does that say to us? Well, what it says to us today is that every believer of Jesus Christ, you are in fact, Gordon, a saint. And so too are you, Margaret. And so too are you, Moshin. We are all saints of the Lord. And I don't mean it's because we're all St. Mirren fans either. Because some of us have other teams to support. Say no more. What it means is those who are in Christ have been set apart. If we go back to Paul's first letter in the book of Romans in verse 7 of chapter 1, he says, to all in Rome who are loved by God, called to be his holy people. Peter says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Which is why I just love that Phoebe's name might not have been given to her by God-fearing parents, but her name actually means bright, shining one. That she was, in fact, a saint of the Lord, and she was not afraid to shine her light for Jesus. So have you been rescued from darkness? Are you a new creation in Christ? Then you too are a saint. We are to live as saints. We are to be set apart. John 15 verse 19 says that you have been chosen out of this world. You are out of this world. And that's not a cheesy chat-up line, but the truth. But as set apart children of God, we are to live differently. We are to live separately from the world. And we've spoke a lot about this recently at Women to Women. The truth is, no one will ever see Jesus Christ in us if we compromise. If we hide our light, as we heard last week. No one will see Jesus or be attracted to the bride if we continue to hide our light. If we hide our light within our homes, if we hide our light within our families, within our friendship groups, if we compromise our faith, if we hide our faith, then we're just behaving like the same as the world. If we watch the same TV programs, if we listen to the same music, if we post the same stuff on social media, if we have the same gossipy conversations, if we celebrate the same festivals. Yes, church, Halloween's not a Christian festival. Happens to be my birthday. You can celebrate that if you like. But it's not a Christian festival. How would the world see us, see Jesus in us, if we continue to look and sound the same as the world? We're all starting to get a bit uncomfortable now. But it's true. The light of Jesus is in you. Let your light shine. Phoebe was described by Paul as a saint. You too are called by God as a saint. So Paul says to the church in Rome, receive her in the Lord in the manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business that she has need of. They are to look after her and welcome her. We don't know exactly what that meant. They would have had to give her somewhere to stay, feed her, take her around the different church meetings, who knows? But all of that would have been going on. She may have even had to enter into some lively debates and discussions. After all, she was there on behalf of Paul. I'm sure they would have had a lot of questions to ask of her, and they were to receive her and to love her. So I've run out of time, but what have we learned today about Phoebe? What is God speaking to us as a growing church with growing needs? What is God speaking to us today about being a family? Well, Phoebe, I believe, was a special woman. She was held in high esteem by the Apostle Paul. He chose this woman for this very important task. She would travel to Rome. She would carry the precious word, this word that would be copied and distributed and shared time and time again, and many people would have been saved by the word of God. Paul introduces her as a sister, a born-again believer, and we too are brothers and sisters, and we are to treat each other as that. Phoebe was also a servant. She poured her life out for the many, not just for the few, but for the many. That word many is the same many of the many that came to Jesus that were hungry. And you know the story. He fed the 5,000. But she wasn't just there to serve the many. She served the individual also. She looked after Paul. And finally, she was a saint. And we too are saints. And we are to live a life set apart for God. What might Jesus have thought of Phoebe as she served here on earth? Well, we don't need to look too far back to see what Jesus thinks of people who serve in this way. Back in Matthew's gospel, Jesus was training the disciples and he was sending them out in twos and he told them that they didn't need anything because all they needed was his word. But Jesus also knew that they'd be welcomed. Jesus also knew that Christian believers would open up their doors and invite them in. And Jesus himself says, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. So here we have it. Jesus encourages us to be like Phoebe, a family of believers who will support and will encourage one another, will welcome and we will receive, we will love and we will edify. And I believe that when Phoebe entered into heaven, I believe Phoebe will have heard those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So as the band come back now, as a church family, as a body of believers, as the bride of Christ, what is God speaking to you today? Are you prepared to love as a sister and a brother? Are you prepared to put your hands and feet to Christian service? Are you ready to live as a saint in this world, not hiding your light, not compromising your faith, but standing firm? Standing firm with your eyes wide open, alert, awake, dangerously awake in this time. And if the answer to those questions, if your response is yes, why don't we stand together as we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do give thanks today for your word. We thank you that your word is life to us. It helps us, it leads us and guides us. We thank you for this woman of the church, Lord God. We thank you that she's so much to offer us, even in these two short verses. Father God, we look to you for the growth and the development of our church here at Mossvale Community Church. We thank you for your bride. We thank you that she is beautiful. And we thank you, Lord God, that she is growing. And we thank you, Father God, that each and every individual that is standing right now has a part to play in looking after her, in dressing her, and preparing her for your return. Thank you, Lord, that we do not do life in isolation. Thank you, Father God, for our brothers and our sisters that are standing shoulder to shoulder right now with us. Lord, would you bless those on either side of us, Lord God. And as we move forward as a church into the greater things in which you have for us here at Mossvale Community Church, help us, Almighty God, by your Spirit, to keep our eyes fixed firmly on you, the perfecter and pioneer of our faith. And Lord, where the enemy comes to seek to steal, kill, and destroy, Lord, may we stand strong together in unity in the faith. And may we see the enemy's attempts quashed in Jesus' name. So Lord, we pray blessing in the name of Jesus over this, your bride. In your name we pray. Amen.